Hey, mamas, before we jump into today's episode, I just want to remind you that although I am a licensed psychologist, I'm not serving here as your psychologist. This podcast is not a substitute for direct mental health care. If you're struggling with a mental health issue of any kind, please reach out to a licensed professional. You can also contact the National Suicide Crisis Line by calling or texting 988. There's no shame in having a mental health issue, and it should always be taken seriously. Welcome to the Mama Shrink Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Cynthia Hauver, licensed psychologist, certified coach, and Gen X mama of two amazing boys. My belief? You can't be an awesome mama unless you're taking care of yourself first. And that's exactly why I created Mama Shrink. You'll get my 20 plus years of experience combined with some very real life struggles. And together, we'll unpack the mental health, the physical health, even spiritual health to get you loving your mama life again. Listen, these kids of ours, they're only young once, and it goes by so fast, and you're never, ever gonna get this time back. We must learn to enjoy this wild ride of parenting. So, if you're up for it, Mama, let's do this. Well, hello, Mamas. I am so happy to officially be back and recording a brand new episode of the Mama Shrink podcast. I have missed all of you and have been wanting to come back and do this podcast for, well, I was looking at my schedule and I realized that my first recording was back in August of 2019. And my last recording was in March of 2020. And if we go back to March of 2020, remember all the stuff that happened with COVID. It's sometimes strange to think about everything that's gone on since that time. And as many of you out there listening, I'm sure have experienced, it was a very challenging and significant time for me. I was actually coming home from a business trip out meeting Jill and Josh Stanton and Amy Porterfield, and it was a wonderful, amazing event out in California. And I remember getting to the airport to come home and, you know, the questions about, you know, have you traveled from China, and thinking, okay, this is really becoming concerning. And then, you know, on the airplane, being a little more attentive to people who were coughing and thinking, okay, I think we're okay. And then literally about a week after, realizing that none of this was going to be okay and having to take my brick and mortar psychology practice online. And thank God I had already been, you know, building my business in the online space. So I was a little bit more knowledgeable about how to get my private practice up and running online, because at that time I had, you know, six therapists working for me. I had doctoral interns, and I was the one in charge of the ship. So I really had to pull it together and focus on that. And at the same time, my sweet little boys were being sent home from school. And there was no more school. And we suddenly had to turn our, you know, dining room into a school, as many of you parents can relate to. And it was challenging, to say the least. I sometimes look back on that first initial period, and I don't even really know like how everyone got through it. It was really scary. It was very challenging for parents. And I am going to do an episode on, you know, just the lasting effects and changes that I've seen, especially in kids, depending on when they were affected by COVID and switching to online school and them being out of school for such a long period of time. And, you know, a really harsh, chaotic environment that our kids have been through. And now, you know, kind of as we're in normal land again, praying that nothing like that happens again, it's just, I think everyone's, you know, as humans do, we like to just go back and try to get back into normalcy. And I've seen some longstanding effects from my work with children and their parents, just how much that actually affected them. And really depending on their ages, right? So my sons were in kindergarten and second grade during COVID. And then they did all the first grade and third grade virtually. And then they went back for second and fourth grade. And, you know, my husband and I were really skeptical. We were really careful. We were, you know, pretty much die-hard COVID people and didn't take any of it lightly. And, you know, I have a chronic illness and, you know, my son has asthma and, you know, it was a lot to think about, you know, is it safe to send them? Is it safe to be doing any of this? And all those fears. And it was a lot of fear, a lot of intensity, a lot of upheaval, going through, you know, a crazy election period and lots of hate in the world. And, you know, there's a lot of residual effects on that. So I will be talking about, you know, those changes that affected our kids in an upcoming episode. But the other thing that, you know, it made me realize is this whole period that I've been gone, there's been a lot of changes in my life. In July of 2020, our beloved rescue dog of 21 years, Sophie, just, you know, she lived her life. She couldn't hang on anymore. And that was really sad to say goodbye to her. And, you know, being the heart of COVID, it wasn't your typical, you know, experience. Thank God we had a wonderful vet that we were able to do it outside with her and be with her. So that was important to me and got through that. And then the worst was in December. On December 5th of 2020, my mom died, and it was shocking. It shook my world in a way that I was not prepared for. I was in shock. My mom had been in the hospital for a fall, and, you know, it was during the height of COVID when you couldn't see people, you couldn't go there, you couldn't communicate. I kept trying to buy her different devices for her to be able to FaceTime and do all this stuff. And I couldn't even go up to the hospital to like set things up for her, and just intense chaos. And when she went to the emergency room for having a fall, she ended up being exposed to COVID, so she had to go in isolation. And mentally, that was really trying on her. And, you know, my mom wasn't in the best of health, but my mom was my mom, right? She was 70. She was, you know, still, you know, mentally with it and peppy and all the stuff. And I think you just don't really realize that your parent can die. And I wasn't expecting it. And even after, you know, some people had said, well, you know, her health was bad. How were you not expecting it? And I just felt like, well, I don't know, people in my family are just strong and we push through things. And I just didn't think my mom would die. And I think when she was getting discharged from the hospital, she was in there all during Thanksgiving, and then it was becoming December, and they were going to discharge her, and I really wanted her to go to a nursing facility because she had to do a lot of rehab, and I was very concerned about her, you know, doing that on her own, alone, and you know, we were in the midst of homeschooling kids and, you know, running my business and all the stuff. So I wasn't able to just, you know, go and stay with her and help her with that. And I wanted to try and find the best place for her to be able to get better. And, you know, we looked and my mom was very upset. She did not want to go to a nursing home. She wanted to go home. She wanted to do outpatient physical therapy, despite me telling her that was not a really good idea. We got to the point where, you know, I said, okay, you're just going to come to my house and we're going to figure it out and have them come here. But she wanted to go home to be with my stepdad and her cat. And, but the final straw was when she was going to be discharged, her caseworker had called me and told me that she was exposed to COVID again. And she had already done 11 days in isolation in a room. And, you know, when you think about someone's mental health during all this, and it was very stressful on her. And I had no idea really, because I wasn't sitting in the room. It was only by, you know, our conversations. We talked by phone every day, multiple times a day, but you know, she was scared. And I think it was mentally starting to affect her to be in that much isolation. And so if she did go to a rehab facility, she would have had to spend another 10 days. Because remember, with COVID back then, that was the case, another 10 days in isolation. And the other concerning fact was most of the nursing facilities that did rehab in the area were just filled with COVID. And I was terrified because my mom had COPD. I knew if she contracted COVID that she might not make it. So there was that slight, you know, concern about, oh my God, you know, her lungs. And, but when she kept testing negative, I was like, okay, thank God. And she seemed really upbeat and ready to go home. And the nurses were encouraging, like, I think this is the best option. Let them come to the house. Let her be home. So I decided to agree with her. And she went home. And, you know, it was, she seemed happy. We were talking on the phone every day. So she got discharged on a Sunday. Monday, you know, we were talking about my son's birthday coming up, how we were going to handle Christmas, considering the whole COVID issue, and, you know, just shopping together online about, you know, what to get this person, that person. And I talked to her on Thursday night. We were on the phone for a long time. We were joking. We were laughing about something. And I said, okay, well, I got to go. I'll talk to you tomorrow. And then Friday morning, I woke up and my phone was ringing and it was my mom, or so I thought. And I was like, okay, I got to wake up, get a cup of coffee, and I'll call her back. In the meantime, my husband had run up to the room and he said, Bobby's trying to call you. And I said, what? I said, no, my mom was just trying to call. I see. I'm going to go to the bathroom, get a cup of coffee. And he said, no, your mom's dead. And you think, like, I mean, the delivery wasn't my favorite, but my whole world just crashed down. I was in shock. I was like, no, my mom doesn't die. that's not true. No, that can't be possible. And the whirlwind that occurred from that point on was hard. The grieving of a mother is something I don't wish on anyone. And I had, you know, grieved quite a bit in my lifetime. My great grandmother was like a second mom to me. And when she passed, that was very difficult. But she was 92, so it was more expected. My uncle passing, who was like my father, was excruciatingly painful and took a long time to recover from that. But for some reason, I don't know what it is. I just had it in my mind that, you know, moms are going to be there. And when she wasn't, it just shook my core. And I will also do another episode on losing a parent, your mom. I'm going to focus on losing your mom because, you know, I've had a lot of friends as we're aging start to lose their moms. And it's always the same experience, you know. And if you had a complicated relationship, and my mom and I did not have, you know, the easiest relationship, it was complicated. And it still hits you. It does. And it's something that I think, you know, moms, especially moms who are older, like myself, you know, we have to prepare for, because as you're trying to raise your own kids and a parent dies, that brings up a whole different set of circumstances, because it's hard to keep functioning as a mom and grieving your own mom. And then soon after my mom passed, I had to take care of my stepdad. He didn't have anyone else. He doesn't have his own children. And he was a mess. And first it was trying to deal with his grief as I was trying to care for myself and, you know, process with my kids, them losing their nana and all of it. But, you know, I had to step up to the plate. And so I was traveling back to Binghamton. That's where I'm from. And going down there multiple times a week. And, you know, the Bobby, my stepdad, was very hard of hearing. So it was incredibly frustrating trying to talk to him on the phone. So a lot of times I just had to drive down there and help him. I helped him, you know, get appointments scheduled, and he was going through monthly treatments for his leukemia that was in a, you know, tolerable state, working well with the medication he was receiving. And then about a month after my mom passed, his leukemia went into an acute phase, and we found out he only had a little time to live. And I had to help him make some hard choices about his life and what we were going to do and how to take care of him through that. And it was brutal. It was a very hard, hard emotional time. And 5 months later, he was gone. And I found myself in June of 2021 having a joint funeral for both of my parents when we were finally allowed to have funerals again. So it's been a long road, and I kept running my business and working and parenting and getting through all the stuff and COVID. And I realized that I was probably burning the candle at both ends times 20. Like, I just was going through the motions of life. And I don't think I really, really realized it, how bad it was affecting me. And, you know, miraculously, having, you know, chronic Lyme disease, I still was functioning, but not at my best for sure. And I was really burnt out, and I didn't know I was burnt out. I feel like I went through these multi-layer burnout stages when I look back, probably on like the last I don't know, 8 years of my life. And, you know, maybe longer than that. I have just always been a person who goes and goes and goes. And even though, you know, yes, I had a podcast, Mama Shrink, focused on self-care. And I did incorporate self-care. But sometimes when you get to a place of burnout, self-care is, you need it, but it's not going to cut it, right? It was a lot. So I put myself back in therapy, which I still do. I am a very strong advocate of therapy. So please, if you're dealing with any type of difficulties, period, but especially going through grief, I highly recommend a skilled therapist to help you navigate all of it and everything that goes with it. So before I end, let's just talk for a moment about burnout, because I really believe that burnout comes in various degrees. So I kind of equate it to the same thing that happens with a physical burn. So whether that be a first degree burn, a second degree burn, or third degree burn. So burnout can be first degree burnout, second degree burnout, third degree burnout. And a lot of times I've seen recently, you know, people throwing around the term burnout. And yes, there's different stages and levels and all the stuff that comes with it, but burnout really should be taken seriously. And like I said before, a lot of times we're so burnt out that we don't know until we're out of it how bad it's actually affecting us. And sometimes we can just move in from, you know, mild burnout to a stage one burnout and then go to a stage two because other things pile up on our plate and we haven't dealt with the first sign of burnout. So now more stressors, more things are added, and we're in second degree burnout. And then if something worse happens in your life or unexpected, then you have third degree burnout. So it really is serious. And I just want moms to be more aware that this doesn't have to be the norm, because that's what I see a lot is, you know, it's just like, well, I'm a mom, I'm burnout, or I'm overwhelmed and I'm stressed. And yes, we're never not going to be stressed. We're always going to have stuff, but it's getting the tools behind us and working on the things, or, you know, that have led to maybe going to a burnout place. So you get all those things working properly and you're doing all the things like self-care and working on boundary issues and getting rid of energy vampires in your life and learning how to be more assertive. And at the same time, implementing things that can, you know, get in your way of taking care of yourself, you know, and having a good routine for you to kind of replenish, because the stress is always going to be there. But when we're not, you know, eliminating certain things from our life or noticing that there's a pattern we keep doing over and over again that's keeping us stuck, or not being able to speak up for ourselves, or not, you know, letting go of perfectionism and having to do everything completely perfect, all those things lead to burnout. So I will be talking a lot about mama burnout. That's actually my focus right now, is helping moms overcome burnout. So if you are a mom and you're interested in knowing if you're burnout, period, or what level you might be in, what stage of burnout you have, feel free to go over and grab my free quiz. So if you take the quiz, it's 20 questions, really quick questions, and it will give you a printout of what stage burnout you're in. So it's, you can find that quiz at drcynthiah.com/quiz. You can feel free to check out my services and learn more about me. And I'm so happy to be back, mamas. I've really missed doing my podcast, and I'm so excited to reach a new group of women and learn and grow together as moms. I really like the idea of moms supporting other moms, and it's powerful. So I'm back. Welcome to my world, and I can't wait to continue to connect with you. So until next week, just keep taking care of yourself. Thank you so much for listening, mamas. I really value your time. And if you like this episode, please share it with a friend and leave a review because they always help. If you want to learn more about me, just head on over to my website at drcynthiah.com. And you can find me on the socials at dr.cynthiahhoffer. Until next week, please keep on taking care of you because life really is too short not to be happy.